Please turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Please follow as I read the first six verses of James chapter 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is nothing wrong with possessions. David, the man after God's own heart, was king. He was a very rich man. And so were men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We understand that there is nothing wrong with wealth, with money. And the issue is not so much how much money you have in your bank account. It is not about the car you drive, what kind of brand, what kind of car. It is not about your house address, whether you live in a three-room HDB flat or you live in a 10-room bungalow. It is our attitude toward the possessions that God has given to us. And I believe the rich here refers to every single one of us here this morning. It is not about millionaires. It is not whether you think yourself poor. As long as you have a bank account, you have a home, you have possessions. It is about our attitude to our possessions and how it has affected and influenced our thinking and our behavior and our conduct and our response to the prompting and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. That is the issue. The book of James was written by James to Christian Jews who were forced to disperse, who were forced to leave their jobs, leave their homes, who were forced to leave their family members because of persecution. They had to be dispersed to run for their lives simply because they were called Christians. We thank God for the peace and prosperity in Singapore. What have we done with this peace and the prosperity that God has blessed each and every one of us with? Have we become so complacent whereby we compare with one another? And if we feel that we have done better than our neighbor, then maybe I'm not so bad in the eyes of God. Somehow, rich people seldom weep, and they definitely do not howl. The weeping and the howling will normally come from people who are under grave persecution, like the Israelites in bondage in Egypt, when they had to be beaten and they suffered as slaves with no right of their own, with no possessions, and they worked from morning to evening, from sunrise to sunset. No choice, with no salary. They will weep, they will howl, they will mourn, they will cry. But not rich people, because we are very comfortable. We become very complacent and we get used to our complacency and our comforts. And that is our problem. And this is what the Word of God would want us to deal with this morning. And so James began by telling us, go to now, ye rich men. Take stock of your life, rich people. That's all of us. How we stand before God with the possessions that God has blessed each and every one of us with. What have we done with every cent, every dollar that God has given to us? Don't forget that we have to give an account to Him for every cent and every dollar that He blessed us with. How will you fare if right now is the day of judgment, where God will take an account of how we have spent what God has blessed us with? Will you and me, will we pass the test? Honestly, go to now. Check your own soul, check your own heart. Not your neighbors. Don't compare with your neighbors. It's between you and the Lord. Nobody else. How would you fare? Would God say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? The Apostle Paul didn't even have his parchment with him. No outer garment to keep him warm as he languished in prison. Oh, he was a very influential and a very, very rich man when he was a persecutor of Christians. But when he became a Christian, all these things he considered as dung. He did not allow any of these things to hinder him as he ministered the word of God, so much so that as missionaries to the people whom he had never met, there were many times when he did not have enough to survive. He had to fast and he prayed. He did not allow his wealth to blind him, to distract him from the will of his Heavenly Father in his life. Should we not do the same? There are very few Singaporeans in FEBC studying the Word of God full time. Why is that so? Why is that? Well, God never called me, we say. God will call those whose heart is willing, who has a strong desire to surrender their lives to God unconditionally. Don't blame God for not calling you when you and I know very well that in our own heart of hearts we are too satisfied and too comfortable in the life that we have made for ourselves in Singapore. The peace and prosperity in the land has not been taken advantage of by us for the extension of God's kingdom. Instead, we swim in our luxury. We indulge in feasting, in buying expensive clothes. Christmas is round the corner. Your church is right smack in the heart of Orchard Road. Come at night. I was told that it is very beautiful. All the street lights, it's as if it is in the daytime. You don't have to drive down Orchard Road with the lights on. Bright and beautiful, I was told. Is it true? It is, huh? Those who have seen it at night. You have not? Maybe you should. Right in the heart of the shopping belt of our beautiful island. And we continue to enjoy year after year, the same thing, as if it is all well with my soul, is it? James says to all of us, rich men, including the women, weep. Wail out loud. That's the word weep. Cry out loud. Don't just cry silently. Don't just feel bad inside your soul. And then don't stop there, because the next word, howl, is even far worse. It describes someone who is shrieking, yelling, screaming, in pain, in sorrow, because of the inner turmoil, whereby the person has realized the gravity of his sin and the deep failures that he had committed against his loving God. That's what James challenged the rich men to check their own soul. And he says, go to now, weep and howl. Why? For your miseries. Because we fail to realize what we have done with the possessions, the gifts, the many, many opportunities that God has laid before us. And the saddest part is that we become so used to it, we don't even feel bad about it any longer. And so James argued and tell us, weep and howl, rich men. for what we have done with the plenty that God has given to us. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. This is what we called a futuristic prophetic statement. A statement that will surely, definitely come to pass if we do not do something in the present to ensure that we do not allow our present way of life to continue to the very end of our days. Because it will come. You want to work hard for money. You gain more and more with your bonuses and with your promotions. What have you done with all these that you long for so much? How much of it had truly been used for the extension of God's kingdom, for the benefit and the growth of your own walk with the Lord? Has it helped you to draw closer to God or further away from Christ? That is how we measure our attitude toward our possessions. Each and every one of us. David was a king living in a palace, but he did not allow his wealth to dilute his devotion to God. Oh, he was not perfect. He committed sins. But the moment his sins were pointed out, he repented of them immediately. There was no beating around the bush. There was no finger pointing. He examined his own soul. And when he was told that you are the man, he repented instantaneously. So do not allow wealth and comfort and pointing of fingers to diminish our own sins. So much so that let my neighbor weep and howl, but not me. I am fine with the Lord. Are we really? Are we really so fine with the Lord that this morning's word from James chapter 5 verse 1 to verse 6 is for everybody else here except me? The miseries God warns us that shall come upon us. He has held back the miseries because of His mercy, His patience, His long-suffering. It is not infinite. Don't let it come before we learn. Let us learn before the miseries come, because you and I are not going to enjoy it. It's going to be painful. It's going to be miserable. And you will want to cry, oh, if only, Lord, if only I had. Don't regret and say, if only after miseries have now befallen us. If it has not come, thank God that He is patience and His long-suffering continues to abound in your life. And now let us all take stock and have a good biblical evaluation of the possessions that God has given to us, the material possessions in particular. Verses 2 and 3 tells us about our possession, and it is called rotten money. Rotten wealth. You know what is rotten wealth? Oh, it looks good. The world will want it to be very carefully dressed up and decorated as if it will last for eternity, as if it will glitter and shine forever and ever. Walk by any jewelry shop and you will find that the interior designer designed it in such a way, with all their window dressing, positioning the right kind of lights. Most of the time they use spotlights. They do not use fluorescent tube. General lighting. General lightings are good for libraries, for reading. But to draw our attention, to make sure that the diamond, that ruby, that topaz, that jewel, that gem shines, glitters, to attract the eyes of the passerby, whereby a person has no desire to buy anything, but the moment his eyes focus on that sparkling gem, he will slowly begin to change his mind. And then if his sweetheart is next to him, the sweetheart may also be encouraged to change his mind for him as well. It's all designed to have that appearance of brightness, of glitter that will give us the notion that it will last forever. It will never spoil. And so you buy it. It could be all kinds of expensive toys. And many of these expensive items, or used to be expensive, but because you have now increased in wealth, it is no more expensive. It is now affordable. It is now very average. Is that not true? When you were a student, you felt so rich with $10 in your pocket. Then when you look at the $100 watch, it is so expensive. You've got to save so much, so long, in order to just buy the $100 watch. And when you finally saved enough to buy it, oh, you were so, so happy to wear that watch. 10 years down the road, with increase in pay, anything less than $1,000 to you would be peanuts. What has happened? What has happened? And then another 10 more years down the road, anything less than $10,000, I won't even bother to look at. What has happened? From a $100 watch to a $10,000 watch 20 years down the road. You were so happy when you bought your first home, 4-room flat, HDB. So happy, so contented. Our first home, my darling, we are going to build our family, build our home, and we will make sure that Christ will always be the head of this house. 20 years down the road, no more 4-room flat, no more condo, must be a landed property, no more 4-room, this time 4 floors. Is that not true? No more Christ is the head of every home, because right now the banks are the head of every home. Because you bought by borrowing money, and now you have this big 4-story house to finance, and so you must make sure that I keep my job. And because I must make sure I keep my job, everything else now becomes secondary. You push your wife one side, you push your children one side, you push your service in church one side, prayer meeting one side, even Lord's Day service also put one side, because I need to finance and make sure that my job is secured. Wherever they send me, I would go. That's what the bank, that's what your boss tells you, not God. When God says, wherever I send you, you go, yeah, in song, in hymns, but not in reality. What has happened? The world is the same, just as sinful, just as wicked. Inside, we have changed. It is still the same you. Have you forgotten so far back, long ago, you were so happy with $10, how God has provided all your needs? When you're so little, you never starve. You always had a roof over your head. But those days were so wonderful, weren't they? You're serving the Lord happily, faithfully. The joy was in your heart, not burdened by all these luxuries around us. Money rots. It tarnishes. It decays. Your gold and silver is cankered. The rust of them shall be a witness against you. How blunt can the word of God be to shake us out of our comfort zone? Why do you want to live in bigger house, bigger and bigger houses, whereby this financing of your home never seem to end? Why can't you just simply be contented with what you have? Pay off whatever home that you have to pay off and spend the rest of your life serving the Lord. Why must it be a bigger and bigger house every 5 years, 10 years down the road, whereby the banks continue to be your God and continue to call the tune? Continue to dictate your life. Our attitude to our possessions is the problem, isn't it? And so God tells us, have a good, long look at the possessions. God says, gold and silver is cankered. Gold will tarnish. Silver will corrode. That's why it is rotten, cankered. The rest of them shall be a witness against each and every one of us. Go back and have a good long look at all the possessions that you have. Do you really need that big house? You really need all those things to serve the Lord, to become a better Christian? Everything that you and I purchase must have this notion, this value, this evaluation in mind. Will this help me to be a better Christian? Will this help me to be a more godly father, a more godly mother? Will this help me to be a godly husband and wife? A godly parent to my children? Instead of just simply heaping upon our children more and more wealth, and what we do is to pass down our sinful philosophy onto our children. That's what we do, and that's what we have been doing. Year in, year out. And our children don't even realize it because they trust us. And so when we die, when they grow up, they just simply become a clone of our sinful self. And they didn't even have those early years where we struggled, when we had so little of material possession but so much of God in our lives. And now our children, they didn't even have that experience to fall back on, to reflect upon. They are now given a life of luxury in order for us to ruin them and to become more worldly than spiritual, to become more Satan-like than Christ-like. That's why James challenged us, weep and howl. Please realize, it is the souls of men and women, your souls, my souls, of our loved ones, our children, that we are shaping, our molding, by the attitude that we have toward the possessions that God has endowed us with. Don't turn the blessings into a curse. Rotten money, it will be used against us, God says, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Is that not true? You can't sleep. You can't eat. So fearful of retrenchment. So fearful of inflation. Will I have enough for the next 10 years of my life because of this, because of that? How much must I have when I retire to maintain this present lifestyle? Our flesh is being eaten up by all these worries and sorrows, and we listen to all kinds of carnal advice rather than biblical advice. Instead of reading God's word, we read all kinds of papers. We read all kinds of papers like insurance papers. Nothing wrong with insurance, please. We need insurance. But when you and I put our trust in insurance, that's our problem, isn't it? It's our attitude. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with wealth. It's our attitude that is always the problem, whereby our trust is focused, is shifted, and we replace our trust and faith in God, which we once upon had when we had so little, and now we have so much of material things, we have so little of God. And we don't even realize it, because it was a very slow and gradual process. You know how to kill a frog? How to boil a frog? You don't dump a live frog into a pot of boiling water, isn't it? You all know the story. Put the frog in a very nice, comfortable room temperature water, a tiny little flame at the bottom, and slowly increase the temperature of the water. And before you know it, the frog will just simply adjust and adapt. As the flame increases, the temperature of the water, he adjusts. And before he knows it, the frog knows it, he's cooked. That's how Satan cooks us. Just a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And before we know it, we are already cooked, hook, line, and sinker, eating from his hand. That he dishes out year in and year out. Every day you go to work, what motivates you? What motivates the Christian when he goes to work? That will determine and dictate his inside as well as his outside. They say Monday is a miserable day, not for Christians. Every day should be a day of joy and great opportunity where he can witness for Christ. You go there and work for money, work for profession, work for promotion. It's so easy to spot, so easy to see. Children study hard for A so that they can get good scholarship, get into good schools. When all these collapses around them, they will cry and they will weep and they will yell. They will howl. When they did not get into the best school for their own name, for their own face, for their own pride. Not for Christ do they study. Not for Christ do we go to work. All these, how we answer before God will reveal the kind of heart that we have and our attitude toward money and possessions. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Is that not true? Is that not what we are doing? Building up our reserve for the last days? Whose last days? If it's the last days on this earth, Satan will take everything. If it's your last day, someone else will take over. You just simply heap treasure together, heap more and more, more and more. What for? We are not saying that saving is wrong. Please do not misunderstand. But when you allow saving to become your comfort zone, to become your security, whereby you have been told by a financial advisor that you must have at least $1 million in your bank account, anything less than that, your future will be very bleak. You will have to downgrade. You have to do this, you have to do that. Financial advisors' words are more important and impact my life more than God's word and how God's word should impact my life. That's our problem. We heap more and more, more and more, more and more for our last days. You know how foolish that is? When God prompted your heart and moved your heart to give toward this ministry, you do nothing. When God moved your heart to give toward this missionary, oh, I need it more, Lord, not that missionary. There are those in our midst who may be really poor, who are really struggling because of the financial difficulty and situation. We turn a blind eye. We pretend that all is well with everybody else because I'm okay. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Verse 2. Moth-eaten. Our expensive clothes. All will be destroyed. Is that not true? We buy expensive shirts, expensive pants, expensive shoes, expensive socks, expensive ties. And then we forget how one expensive meal can keep a family of four for an entire month in a third world country. We just simply eat away. As if there is no tomorrow. No thought for others. It's our attitude. There's nothing wrong with eating the king's food like King David. Please do not misunderstand that just because now from next week onwards, all of us must dress in torn and tattered clothes. We all now must take baths. Please don't equate poverty equals spirituality. And wealth equals carnality. Please do not have this thinking or notion it is wrong. Because poor people can also become very carnal because they keep on crying what they do not have. They're also not contented. It is our attitude that we have to fix. Not the externals. It's the attitude. Once the attitude is fixed, slowly the external will be checked. It will come automatically. Don't think that by just fixing the externals, your internal will be fine. It's the attitude. We must fix inside our hearts, our condition, our attitude and our understanding toward all that God has blessed us with in this wonderful country. The responsibility as Christians for the extension of God's kingdom is what we need to take stock of. Don't just look at money as your God and as your security. Don't look at your insurance. Don't look at your bank account. Don't look at your wealth as your security. It is God who is your security. It is God who secures you your job, God who secures you with a good mind to study. It is God and God always. This you must never, never forget. And to do that, you make sure that every step of your life, every corner you turn, you pray and ask God for direction. You surrender your life to the Lord. That is the way to look at the material possessions that we have. It is rotten. It is to be used for the blessing of others, for helping you to become more like Christ. Verse 4 tells us that because we love money so much, our methods become fraudulent. Isn't it? If money is your God, if all you care about is money, is wealth, and how you can heap more treasures, the next step is you will take the necessary steps to ensure that is done. And so you realize that your methods, your service, will become very fraudulent. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Sabaoth means host. It simply means it is not Sabbath, okay? It's another totally different word. This means God is the one who is in control of everything under the sun, up in heaven and down on earth. These laborers who depend on a daily wage to survive in those days, literally. Daily wage. They don't have bank accounts. They don't even have food for tomorrow. They work today, hoping that what they will have given to them for today will keep them alive for tomorrow. That's a laborer, a daily wage worker. And these people who heap together more and more wealth for themselves, you think they care about these laborers? They don't care. These laborers will work hard under the noonday sun in the fields of this rich man. And then at the end of the day, when they're supposed to pay them, they will hold it back. Because they want to keep their money in the bank, maybe to have more interest. You know, bank, they pay interest maybe at the what? First 5 days of the year, of the month or something. The highest amount that you have for that month will be the interest that they're going to take, I think, the first few days of the next month, isn't it? Something like that. And so when people give invoice to pay, you hold it back. Oh, because they say we have 30 days. You know this 30-day thing? So you hold it back, hold it back, hold it back until the 29th day, the 23rd hour, the 59th minute, then you sign the check and then you pay. Christians do the same. Terrible. That's our modern day comparison to these poor people. We don't care whether the other person needs the money or not. We just care only for ourselves. My interest in the bank. I need this money. I need that money. Other people, you do business, especially business pertains to service. They come and they clean your apartment. They come and clean your complex. They do all these things for you. You don't pay them. You hold them back. Keep on holding them back. The work is already done. And you know that they have no recourse. Literally, no recourse. What can they do? Go to small claims court? You know they can't afford a lawyer to sue you. And they won't. And so you take advantage of them. And there are a lot of businessmen who play dirty, who will do things like this, just as the rich men in those days who will bully the laborers, and these laborers are completely at the mercy of these landlords. You complain, tomorrow they won't hire you. You are done for, so you are at their mercy. But God hears their cry. God is in charge of all things in heaven and on earth. You may even escape man's judgment. They cannot touch you because you know the right people in the right places. You have the money. You can escape the judgment of man, but you cannot escape the judgment of God. That is a stern warning. Oh, there are many who will escape the judgment of man. We know. That's reality. You don't be one of those men if you are a Christian. If you are not a Christian, these Christian principles do not apply. But if you are a Christian and you behave like this, you become a big stumbling block to the name of Christ. They will forget your name, but they will remember, oh, Christian behaved like this. How sad it is to hear our loved ones, crying to us, I will never, never set foot in a church. I will never, never attend a gospel rally or even a Christmas service. Why? Because when I was this age, when I was that age, I experienced Christian witnesses and testimonies that really turned me off. And I promised myself when I was 10 years old, I will never be a Christian. Because if Christians behave like this, I would rather die an atheist, a non-Christian, than anything else. They don't remember who you are. They forget your name. But they will remember your evil and wicked conduct. This is evil. Especially laborers who need this to survive. You know it more than I do. In the business world, you do a service, you do a project, and they will just find fault. Just to find an excuse, even if it's not that, just not to pay. And there's no fear. You don't care about the name of Christ. We order some groceries from the neighborhood near Pandan Church for our children in kindergarten and for many activities for our JW, many items. The sad part was I did not know that we do not pay them on time. And so when I went there during my lunchtime in the past, I would give them tracts. I told them that I come from that church. Well, I got an earful. Scolded me. I was so ashamed. So I went back. Try to fix it. And so our reasoning is, well, there's this 30-day thing, you know, you don't have to pay immediately, and because of the interest in our bank account. Really, no joke. So we've got to change the entire policy. The name of Christ is more important than that few dollars of interest. We have the money we paid. Owe man nothing except love, isn't it? Owe no man anything except the debt of love is what the Bible teaches us. You have the money, you pay. Don't wait for these 30 days. Do unto others what you want others to do unto you. Is that not what the Bible teaches us? Don't you want your pay to be on time? So is it so bad, so wrong to pay someone on time? And if you can pay someone ahead of time, don't you want to be given ahead of time too? The name of Christ is shamed by our attitude toward our money, our possessions. And we fail to realize that over and over again. That is what the fraudulent method will bring forth. Because we love rotten money. It affects our behavior, our conduct, and our attitude. Will you weep and howl? Will you realize how gracious, long-suffering, and patient God has been to all of us? All of us are rich. All of us, without exception. Because we live in a peaceful, prosperous Singapore. All of us have a bank account. All of us have a home. All of us have possessions. All of us, I'm sure, have at least more than 5 pair of pants. More than 5? More than 5 pair of shoes too? Definitely more than 5 shirts, 5 pairs of socks. Some of us maybe even, hopefully not like Imelda Marcos. Right? 3,000 these, thousands and thousands of this. She's 80 years old, now she wants to come into politics. That's what they say on the news. And they also rehearse to all of us whom I have forgotten the kind of lifestyle she lived as they talk about her desire to enter politics at the age of 80. That's all I could remember. Just only a couple of days back. So we have more than we need. But Christmas is round the corner, we want to buy more. Do you really need that? Oh, but it's on sale. Yeah, it's on sale. That's what they say. Christmas sale. Do you really need it? Do you really need that extra shirt, that extra pair of pants? How many pair of pants do you wear today at one time? Pray tell, how many? Yeah, you need to wash one, so you need another one. Fine, that's good. You may even need to wash 2 at a time. So maybe 5 is the max. because our climate is not so good for drying clothes unless you have a dryer. So all these are reasons and excuses. But you really need 10? Do we really need that many? Think carefully. Our attitude toward our money, our possessions, will be seen by the way that we live, by the way that we talk, by the way that we relate to others, especially those who are below us. All these will reveal. Don't just answer, don't just talk. Don't just fill in the blank, circle true and false on a piece of paper. Let our life be the test, be the checklist. Your life, my life, your heart condition, let it be the checklist. Whether the howling and the weeping should be for our neighbor or for ourselves. Before God. Not before one another, before God. From rotten money to fraudulent methods. And then verse 5 to verse 6, a very luxurious death. We die smiling. Die fat. That's the word. Wanton. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Wanton means voluptuous, fat and big like a pig. Ye have nourished, fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. So, luxurious death. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. You bully, you take advantage of those whom you know are at your mercy, and you don't even feel bad about it, and you continue to do it, and your conscience as it were has been seared. There were many who were running for their lives in the days of James because of persecution. And those who were rich should go out and help those. Families perhaps who have lost fathers and brothers because they were Christians, they have to run for their lives. But do they care? No. They turn a blind eye. They just simply make sure that their own lives are richer and richer and richer and richer. They continue to swim in their luxury. They pamper themselves. All kinds of sensual living, drinking in excess, in feasts. Do you know that I was told that there was a BP church who believes in drinking alcohol? And so they would break open a bottle of wine for their Lord's Supper. And I was told that that bottle of wine cost $8,000 to the Lord's Supper. What do you all use? Grape juice, huh? So it's not true life. So you are fine. Pandan also use grape juice. Another BP church. $8,000 bottle of wine for the Lord's Supper. Imagine. Imagine. No shame. Probably they continue to do it. They don't care. There's no more synod. Every church just did what is right in their own eyes, like in the day of Judges. No fear of God. There is no Lord of the Sabaoth, that is the Lord of hosts, to judge me, to condemn me. We don't care. Full of pride. Live in idleness. There are those who are the reverse, you know. You know what's the reverse? Those who like to hoard. You want a hoarding? They are the miser. They are multi-millionaires, but they live like paupers. That is the other opposite, isn't it? They just like to hoard. They just make sure that I just keep and keep, and they see them eat and buffet. They are very rich, but their dress is very poor. And they will tap out from the buffet. They bring big bags so that they can store a lot, you see. They can well afford. But somehow you have these two opposites. One is miserly. They are very rich, but they dare not spend, not even on themselves. They just want people to take pity on them. They don't want to take taxi. They just want to take bus all the time, and they dress used clothes, probably taken from maybe Salvation Army. But they are very, very rich. And then on the other extreme, you have those who are so full of external opulence. Both are wrong. Both of them are filled with pride. fear. They abound in wealth. They don't care about the sin that they have committed over and over and over again against God. Rich men weep and howl. Why? Because the day of judgment is upon us. Miseries that shall come upon you. Don't nourish our hearts as in a day of slaughter, like when you want to feed a pig as fat as possible before you slaughter it. That's exactly what we are doing. And all we care about is to fulfill this insatiable appetite that we have. God has made us in His image with the five senses to enjoy this world. But do not allow this enjoyment to turn into sensuality, to drinking, to an opulent kind of a lifestyle that has ruined us, whereby instead of Christ-likeness that must be seen in the way that we live from day to day, we become more and more like the world. And in our society, it is so much to be like the world than to be like a Christian. That's why James told his people to weep and to howl. Why? Because our miseries will soon come upon each and every one of us. Take stock and change, and don't let it come. The only way is to repent and to cry and ask God to help us. To help us to have a proper biblical attitude toward every cent, every dollar, every possession that God has blessed us with. That this life that God has redeemed with Christ's precious blood. The recognition that everything that I have comes from the Lord. May we not turn His blessings into a curse. All of us, no exception, need to reevaluate what we have done with the much that God has given to us. Your life, your gifts, your possession. Has it brought glory to Christ? Should it not? If not, let us weep and let us howl before an almighty, all-knowing God. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. O Lord our God, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts this morning to realize that we are people who live in a free land, a land of peace and prosperity, which Thou hast placed us in for a purpose. Not the purpose of satisfying our heart's desire for the things of this world, to fulfill the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, but to live in this world where we can do so much with the much that Thou hast blessed us with, for the extension of God's kingdom, for the growth and maturation of my own faith, with all the things that Thou hast made available to us. We have no excuse not to study Thy word, not to be good students of Thy word, and not to love You more and more each day. O Lord our God, may Thou forgive us. Cleanse us and wash us by Christ's precious blood. And sanctify us, O Lord, by Thy truth, for Thy word is truth. That this life that Thou hast redeemed with Christ's precious blood may be lived to the praise and glory of Thy holy name. And all that Thou hast bestowed upon us may be used for the blessing of others and for the promotion of Thy kingdom. And the name of our Savior may be glorified and magnified in this life that Thou hast given to us, each and every one of us, to live. That on the day when we will stand before Thee, the day of judgment, may we all hear from Thee, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." O Lord, may Thou hear our humble cry and speak to all our hearts for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.